This is the Integrate Intelligently podcast from Catatalk Software. A podcast about the people, programs, and processes that come together to make businesses successful. At Catatalk, we're a software integration company, but we believe this idea of intelligent integration goes much deeper than software.
Hello, welcome back to the Integrate Intelligently podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Brickler, today. No surprise, today, again, I will be co-hosted with my brother, founder and CEO of Catatalk, Scott Brickler. Scott, we're back. I know last time we were back in the office. I've been back in a week, so now just about recovered. So welcome today to another episode. How's it going for you?
Going good. Getting ready to go on another big trip. So we're actually going to Hawaii for about a week and a half. So doing a little bit of work and a little bit of fun. So really looking forward to that. But Pat, my wife is, she's always super prepared. So she's like always, you know, is going through all the things we got to pack and get make sure we have all the suitcases. Cool.
The checklist.
All the checklist. Yeah. So I'm not sure she likes it, but she's very prepared. So
she probably if she's like my wife, she'll have like a packing list and they'll be checking all those things and crossing them off the list.
Yeah.
And then we should be thankful that we have people in our lives who do that, right? Take care of those things and allow us to be here on this podcast and to focus on the work. So
absolutely.
So again, just as an introduction, right? We are Catatalk Software. We help manufacturing companies, you know, accelerate their engineering to manufacturing handoff. Kind of in the layman's terms, where we do CAD integration platform, right? We work with all kinds of manufacturers all over the world. Today, we're going to explore partnerships, and we essentially have, you know, three major ways in which we partner, right? And so partner with manufacturing companies, you would think it'd be pretty straightforward when you say, hey, what problem do you solve? Well, we help manufacturing companies, right? We are an integration platform, but what I would call the ecosystem or the environment in which we work is pretty sophisticated, pretty complex. And so we're going to talk about those three different kind of partnership relationships we have through partnerships. You know, when I came to Catatalk 10 years ago, I know that one of the things we talked about when I came on was like, hey, we often work with partners, and I didn't know what that meant. So today's a good opportunity to explore what that looks like.
Absolutely. Sounds great.
So I work with a lot of our partners. I've built a lot of our partner relationships over the last 10 years. And so there's essentially, to talk about those three major partnership channels, right? The first one, and probably the may not seem like a partnership as much, but it's with the end user, the customer, right? The customer themselves. So obviously we partner with them in their journey, right? They talk about the digital transformation journey, they're improving their process journey, right? We are partners in that venture. We see it more than simply, you know, we're making a sale or selling software, but really supporting those, our customers and those and that partnership. So how do we work with the end user or the customer with our partnerships? Really, it's a pretty simple, that's probably the most straightforward scenario that we can have, right? We partner with manufacturing companies to help them accelerate or transform their engineering to manufacturing workflows. That usually is involved with implementing a solution or sometimes just consulting with them on what they're doing today and how to improve those areas, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Scott, what are some of the common, I mean, you've been obviously working with engineering and manufacturing companies for 30 years. That's too long. Almost 30 years. We don't want to
almost 30 years.
Age it too long, age it too much. So, but you've been working almost 30 years with manufacturing companies. Describe a little bit about, you know, when we partner with them, what are the challenges or that they're trying to overcome? What are the things that you often hear manufacturing companies talk about when it comes to both how we can help, but also just in general?
Yeah, yeah. And the way I like to look at these things is kind of also from product standpoint, there's our jobs to be done type of framework. So it's a very common framework for how you look at products. Like, it comes from the idea that people don't buy drills, they buy holes, right? They have a job to do, which is to drill a hole, not to buy a drill. And everybody wants to talk about like how, you know, what's the motor in my drill? Does it have like ergonomic handle and all these other things and features and benefits and everything about the drill? But really at the end of the day is like, how easy is it for me to go to buy these holes that I need to have done, right? And or have whatever it is that my drill is going to do. And the jobs to be done framework is a really good way to look at partnerships as well. Because, you know, you think about partnership, it's like, you know, and using the term partner is a really good way of doing it. It's like, we are going to help you get this job done, and not just provide software, or not just provide this, you know, this really cool thing with all these features. We combine our expertise with the tools that we've built to produce an outcome or to produce a job to be done. So essentially, when you work with us, you're paying us to do that job for you, and which is to, you know, which involves both consulting with you about the best practices, as well as delivering the software that will help you do that, solve that problem. So, and that's one of the reasons why we don't just like peddle software. You know, we just don't say, hey, come buy our thing and, you know, good luck with that, and, you know, on your way. We actually have people that we put into our implementation teams that are experts around this problem. You know, we actually have people who've come from, a lot of times they come from their former customers, they come from industry, they spent lots of years in manufacturing, they've lived with this problem, and they know exactly how this job is to be done.
So that's a good point. Like, but it's not just one job, right? So what are the jobs to be done? Like, to your point, like, people sell drills, but really customers buy, as you mentioned, holes, right? Or, you know, screw guns, you know, screws or completed projects or whatever. That's what they're buying. As a sort of a tangential story here, it's like when you feel really good about going out and buying something that's going to help you get that job done. But how many, I have to say this in my own house, this is kind of a joke in the sense that how many times does some, you know, somebody go out in your house and buy something for a job to be done, and then like the actual thing is like not done, like mulch, right? Go out and buy the mulch. You're like, I got the job done. Like, the job done of buying the mulch, we got to put the mulch on the flowers, right? So, but
yeah. Well, I mean, that's a great framework to look at. It's like, but the job wasn't actually done. Buying the mulch didn't actually get the job done. The job of the mulch is to prove the aesthetics of your landscaping and to keep weeds from growing.
Yeah, so it's important to really define what the job is, right? So buying the mulch actually isn't the job to be done, right? The buying of the part is just one, maybe one of many steps in that job to be done, right? So that's a good point. So it's a really good point to define what the job is to be done, right? Because there may be many steps in that job to be done, but it's important to define what it actually is that you want to achieve with anything, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And for us, it's like, you know, that we help with the engineering to manufacturing handoff. And that's essentially what that is like, you know, we talked about this before, is the engineers design stuff and then we have to make it. And there's multiple systems. Typically, you know, there's a design system that the engineer works in, and there's a manufacturing system that the rest of the company works in, which is usually an ERP or something like that. When we are the piece that we handle the job of transforming that data from one end system to the other. And that typically was done, that job was done by a manufacturing engineer manually. And what we do is we help automate that manufacturing engineer job, more of it. We don't replace it, we augment it, right? So that way, you know, that's a job that we're getting done for them, you know, and it's a matter of like, the tagline I always like is, we transform engineering intent into manufacturing execution. And that really shows how, because at the end of the day, after design's done, somebody has to make it. We are greasing the wheels of getting it made.
It makes a lot of sense in the sense that the partnership that we have, right, is not just with our customers or end users, isn't just about software, just about the implementation project or any of that, right? It's really helping those customers, helping those end users, the partnership achieve their end result, right? Which usually involves like time savings, right? More time spent on engineering, faster, better lead times, faster being able to ship the products faster, right? Less fire drills, right? Less people running around with their hair on fire of like, hey, I don't have this part, or hey, there's a mistake here, or hey, there's an engineering change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's that whole, the idea that, you know, that we can try to get from, I mean, I think the lead time, we talked about this before, it's like there's the, you know, obvious thing of like, it saves the person time to do the thing, right? So, you know, the person's doing this job, it takes them an hour, we can make it a half hour. That's an easy thing to measure, is the time savings. But there's also like all the soft costs that we've talked about before of like getting the market faster. How fast can you go from, how fast can you go from the idea inception to collecting the money? You know, if you can press that time, then that typically makes cash flow, is what makes businesses go. And you can press that time. So there's all these kind of hidden costs, and all these things are chipping away at that solution of saying, you know, how do I get things to the market faster? We value speed in the market. We're willing to pay for it. That is a competitive advantage. So all those things that we add by having a better tool that makes better holes, right? Make it, yeah. So at the end of the day.
Yeah. So you know, what's interesting now is with the advent of like large language models, right? And the ability to look at data that quality of that data becomes ever more important. We've talked about this in the past, but something that makes consistent data is even better than it ever was, right? We always talk about and preach about like the value of the quality of the data, and that a better process, a better tool that creates a repeatable, consistent process produces better data. But sometimes it seemed like, oh, well, you know, that would be like a nice to have. But with those large language models and training on the data, it seems that that data is even more valuable now. And that consistency of data, right? It's even more valuable now than it ever has been.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the data becomes the asset, right? I mean, that's a huge part of it. And then there's also I'm noticing this more and more with like the lead time to things and the speed to action. You see that a lot more. Like recently, I know that I have an executive assistant now. And I noticed, and one of the things that we changed is like, hey, she would like that she'd move things in my inbox to look at. And I was like, you know what? Like, we could probably, operationalize this and have, kind of rules around making sure these things move forward, because, I don't like to check my email, but like constantly. So I'm working on projects and moving, managing the company and things like that. So it's like, but I don't want to lose the opportunities as they come in, right? Or like things that can happen. So if I could operationalize that and have it say, okay, well, can we move this thing forward while I'm still doing something else? And that's kind of the same thing that we do a lot of times for the partnerships we have with our customers is like, it's like, can we move instead of this thing queuing up and waiting to be worked on by somebody, can we move this transition from the engineering to the manufacturing, alongside of the work that you're already doing? And that way you can get to market faster and take advantage of the opportunity. So I think it was like the other day we had somebody email and she wasn't sure how to respond to it. And it was actually like a sales opportunity, right? He's like, hey, I want to talk to this old friend of mine that I knew from years ago. And he was asking about some questions. And it was like, and the next move would have been like, let's get a meeting going. Let's have a conversation. But I'm not the only person who can answer this. Let's get Jeff on the call. All those things she knew to do. Like, she would, like I said, to make sure she knew how to do that. And that thing, that way that thing moves forward. But every minute, every time that it waits, it loses its opportunity. There's an opportunity cost to that. So it's the same thing with, any kind of automation or any kind of tool that you use, the fact that you don't have to do it and it's just happening on its own or it's happening much faster is a huge benefit. That's another thing people don't, like, a lot of times kind of discount because it's not as obvious.
Yeah, it's hard to quantify, right? The opportunity cost, right? The cost of doing nothing, right? Because doing nothing is the easiest thing. But I think people think that indecision doesn't have any effect, right? If I don't decide to do anything and we keep things just the same, then the belief is that we haven't risked anything, right? I haven't lost or made any risk. Hey, if I just, we keep things just as they are, I'm not taking a risk, right? I'm not taking a risk to change a process or improve a process I'm not taking any risk. So therefore it's all good, right? Nothing's happened. But the reality is, to your point, the opportunity cost is, there is a risk, right? The risk of doing nothing.
Yeah.
It's like a hole in your roof, right? Like I actually got a leak in one of my roofs now, which is, I got to do something with it. But like I have this old home and then a leak in your roof, right? And you think, oh, I cannot do anything, that leak, right? But that can cause over time, right? Can cause a lot of damage, really damage the foundation or damage your house or damage anything. So there is a opportunity cost, right? To doing nothing, something that seems like small can turn into something really big, especially over time.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's the first way that we partner with our customers, of course. And you and I are both familiar with that, having worked with customers and then our team working with customers. Now, the second way in which we partner is really with what I call kind of technical partnerships or technology partnerships. So as we're an integration software, right, we have kind of two sides of the equation, like a left and a right, a source and a target, right? We're here in the middle, and then you have a CAD or PDM, or you have some kind of engineering software over here, and you have something on the other side over here, which is the manufacturing. And so we have these technology partnerships, right, for our integrations. So typically, this is going to be CAD publishers, right? So, and then over the other side could be ERP or PLM publishers on the other side, right? And so, Scott, talk a little bit about when you were first developing, you obviously knew that you needed to get a partnership going with these other software publishers so that you could work with them. Talk a little bit about like how you came to that. Like, why did you decide to focus on that partnership immediately. Because sometimes, you know, these technologies have open APIs or well-documented. You could just, you don't need that partnership necessarily. You could just go out and build some kind of integration. And because there's different parts of an integration, right? There's just different parts of the relationship with the technology vendors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a lot of it, I mean, we talk about this a lot, like when we work with customers and then people have systems that we don't integrate to, right? So like they'll ask about, and then we integrate to a ton of things, but you know, it's like, well, can you integrate to this other thing that we have or whatever? And like, and my first question is always, you know, how do we get a partnership with that company? And a lot of that is around risk mitigation, right? Risk mitigation for the customer, actually, you know, which I think, you know, is the core, you know, the core person that we have, governance with, right? It's like we have to look for the customer first. And so, and the reason why I say that's the risk mitigation is that if we are, we call ourselves an off-the-shelf integration, not custom software, but an off-the-shelf integration, we have to we're implying that we will continue with to support that integration in the future. That's the entire point of buying an off-the-shelf integration. So in order to maintain that, we would have to maintain access to the software that we're integrating to and be able to maintain that integration over time. So by having the partnership, we increase the likelihood that we will have access to the software and be able to continue with that integration and support it, you know, as opposed to using like the customer systems or something like that. So sometimes like when you have an independent consultant or more custom software solutions, they just say, well, I'll get the access from the customer. And then they sell one customer and then maybe two customers. And I guess there is an incentive for the customer to give you that access, but it's like, you know, it's just kind of like, to me, it seems like it's more of a risky endeavor. Then you also have to deal with the fact that like the customer may have different versions and all those different types of issues that you run into. And also, so by having the partnership with the publisher of that system that you're integrating with, you mitigate the risk for the customer and also for the business as well, right? So by doing that. The other thing you get is you typically, by having the partnership, you're getting, and typically you're paying for it. You know, you pay for that. And actually that's probably sometimes even preferred because then you have an incentive for the company that you're working with to give you the inside track about that system, you know, and like how it works and, you know, what's the best way to integrate and what's the best practices and how, you know, how is the company, how is customers using it? You know, that's a nice thing to mitigate risk and to produce a better outcome, which is also paramount, you know, if you're trying to serve customers. And then, you know, and if you take it even further, then you could say, well, can we likely your customers are my future customers. So how do we create a mutually beneficial relationship where you can introduce me to your customers and then you make some revenue and we make some revenue, everybody wins. Like the customer wins, we win, you win, everybody wins, you know, it's better than a win-win. It's a win-win-win. You know, so it's like, why don't we create more of those? So there's like, so the partnership concept is, you know, it's a great way to approach it because, you know, it mitigates risk, but it also creates win-win-wins, you know, for everyone to kind of, you know, get on the same page and be able to provide more value to the customer.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing is that, you know, the partnership model really provides kind of 2 to 3 sort of areas of partnership. One, the technical partnership, right? The access to the software, the training around the APIs, how to talk to the softwares, maybe a certification process around how the source or the target system works, right? You would want to have that.
And best practices too. Yeah.
And best practice, right, exactly. How to use this software, right? What's the best way to integrate to it? What's the best way to use it? What's the best, how the workflows happen? All of that. Versioning, right? How often we do updates, all of that matters. So there's that kind of technical partnership or a technical area that we need to do, right? That's for more like engineering or implementation. Then of course there is marketing opportunities, right? As you said, if we're working in these two systems together, right? The CAD, PDM, PLM, like your companies, like your PTCs, your Dassaults, your Siemens, those CAD companies. And then of course your ERP companies, right? Your Oracles, your SAPs, your Infors, your IFSs, your Microsoft, all of those ERP companies, there's that ability to market together, right? As you said, like their existing customers are our future customers and their future customers are ours, right? So opportunities there to sort of attract end users to both, to the systems, right? When a customer decides, hey, I want to look at that. So you can do things like have joint marketing activities, and also joint sales activities, right? Where you can go to market together, where someone's looking at a new system, right? New CAD system, new ERP, and they want to integrate them right away, right? Because their process needs that, right? And that's more value. They want to really do a transformation in terms of what they're doing digitally. So those are the kind of, and then of course there's the sales opportunity. So marketing and sales kind of go together, right? That marketing and demand generation, right? Being that partnership, and also the sales partnership, the ability to sell with them or sell on their paper. So sometimes the people we partner with are able to sell our solution, right? They're able to sell CAD Talk because it's so tightly, not coupled because it's not coupled together, but it's so complementary, right? It's so value add in the implementation for the new ERP, the new PLM, or the new workflows, right? So you want to make those, to have the best chance of success, you want to have those workflows be easy, right? That people feel like, oh, we're going to go through this, you know, implement a new system. We want there to be benefit. And so CAD Talk helps that conversation, right? That value add of really making all those systems talk well with one another.
Yep, absolutely.
So Scott, like, I've worked with a lot of different types of partners, and just like anything else, just like friendships or anything, you have friends that you're closer to and friends that you're less close to, but you have all kinds of partnerships. So in your mind, Scott, what would make a successful partnership between, say, a technology company, right? Like your Infors, your Dassaults, your those technology companies.
I think at the, I mean, typically where, like, as I mentioned earlier, is where you can create a win-win-win, right? Anywhere you have that situation. Whereas like, if you're a publisher of a system that we integrate to, then you get to go to the customer with a broader set of features that you wouldn't necessarily have on your own. Right. So, and that's the other thing. It's like, you can build, I mean, everything that we do, you know, one of these publishers could possibly build, but they're not focused on that. They're focused on building their product to be the best product it can. And integrations tend to be another thing. A lot of companies will build their own integrations, but it's pretty hard when it's just like anything else. If you focus on something, you can be really good at it. That's what we do. We do integration. That's literally all we do. And we don't even do integration like in general sense. We do integration in a very specific problem, you know, so that way we can become the best in the world at solving this problem. So that's, it goes back to an earlier conversation of like, do you put together a bunch of best of breed applications? Or do you try to make a big monolithic system that's kind of okay with everything? And with integration, you can actually do that, you know, almost make it look like it's a monolithic application that all works together, but with best of breed solutions. And that's what we kind of provide. And then that's the thing, they don't have to worry about like all the different systems that we integrate to. They get that all that, you know, by default. So they're able to increase the breadth without doing it themselves.
Yeah. One thing,
and they're able to get there faster. Yeah.
Yeah. One thing I would add is like for our partnerships is it makes their, whatever they're providing, sticky, right? Stickier, because now like the customer, by my stickier, I mean, the customer gets more value out of that system. They have more things tied, connected to it. They have, you know, better workflows, all of that. And so as a result, the customer's like, this is really working for me. I don't need to change, right? It provides a lot of value, the whole system, because people look at it as a whole thing, right? So if, you know, you say like, oh, I got this great system, but nothing integrates to it. And so a bunch of other manual processes has to be built around the fact that nothing integrates to it, but it's an amazing system, right? But nothing integrates to it. So that's a negative. So having these partnerships also makes it better for those systems, right? For those other technology providers, because their ecosystem is strong, and then more customers will want to come there because they can get the support they need. Consulting support, additional software support, all of that.
Yep. Yeah. And for the customer, it makes for a more seamless experience, right? They don't feel like they have all these different disjointed systems that don't talk, right? Once you get these systems talking, then you start getting, you know, you start seeing a lot more, these things just start moving a lot faster because, you don't have the kind of the manual handoffs and things like that happening. And you kind of have things that you'll have things happening in the background, or as you, like, you're kind of making money while you sleep type thing. It's like moving around. Things are moving because they're talking to each other when you're not actually having to physically do it yourself.
So the last partnership that I see, we're going to talk about three, right? The first being the end user customer partnership, with the second being the technology providers, the people we integrate with on a technical aspect. Maybe we have co-market or co-branding together. And the last I would call resellers. So that's a little, or our system integrators. That's a little different from the technology partners in the sense that the resellers, that could be ERP resellers or PLM resellers, or it could be CAD resellers, or people who are selling and servicing the products we integrate with, right? So those could be like your SAP resellers or your Dassault resellers or your Siemens resellers or your Windchill or Arena PLM or any of these different resellers out there who will be reselling the software, which means that they'll need to expand their offering to their clients based upon the client need, with the specific manufacturing requirements the customer has. So in my experience, a lot of my relationships that I've built are with these types of what we call ERP or target system or CAD resellers, people who work with the customer already or who want to work with this particular customer. So here's a use case scenario. Customer is looking for a new target system. Let's call it a new ERP system, right? They have either they have CAD or they have a PLM system, and they want to connect it to this new ERP that they're going to, right? Maybe they're going to look at, say, Microsoft and maybe Infor and the NetSuite or an Oracle product. And they say, okay, I want to make sure that my CAD, right, my engineering is connected to your system, right? And they want to look at three different systems, right? Like I said. And so they go ERP reseller as someone who's trying to sell one of those target systems, and they have to address that client need, usually what's called an RFP, request for proposal, or RFQ, request for quote. And then that's when kind of the action starts for us and that relationship. So what I mean by that is when, say, an ERP reseller finds out, has a customer who says, I want to look at your ERP, they will come to us and say, hey, we have a customer who's interested in your product, but because your product integrates with the product that I'm selling, how can we work together so that we can present to the customer a solution that's going to work together, right? Because ultimately, the customer wants to buy, as you said, customer wants to buy holes. They're not looking for a drill necessarily. They're going to buy holes. And now holes, this new business system, this new ERP system that's going to work to fix their problems, right? Improve their processes, solve pain points that they have now. So they're looking for those holes. That's what the hole is. And so that it's similar to like a drill, as you said, they're looking for holes. It's like a drill company going to the drill bit company a little bit. So like the ERP resellers, it might be the drill company, right? They're going to sell this drill. Hey, buy my drill. Hey, I got this drill to solve. This drill can produce holes. And then the customer goes, well, what kind of drill bits do you have?
Mm-hmm.
And then they come to us and say, hey, can you have a drill bit to drill these holes? And we say, yeah, we got a drill bit for that.
Yep, exactly right.
So I think it's get back to your win-win-win situation, right? In that scenario, reseller comes to us and we can help provide a solution, right, for their customer. And it does create a win. The customer gets the solution they need. The ERP reseller can sell their ERP, and we can help both our ERP reseller partner and our new end user partner. We can help them both win, right? So it is truly that win-win-win scenario.
Absolutely.
So typically, Scott, what does... when you've worked with partners in the past, what does it look like? What is a reseller partnership? I mean, you started before I came on. One of the first partnerships that you had when I came on to CAD Talk was with an ERP called SysPro. And so, talk a little bit about like you identified or you found that partnership, that reseller partnership first, and SysPro had resellers. Talk a little bit about what was it like in those early days of either finding them or onboarding them and training them and enabling them and all of that. What does that look like?
Well, I think that one of the challenges that you have with ERP resellers or resellers of another product that you integrate to, as opposed to like a traditional reseller, like the reseller relationship with an ERP reseller and the ERP company is different than the relationship they would have with us. Right. And that's probably the hardest lesson to learn. It's like that the incentive for that ERP reseller is to sell the ERP. That's their first focus. And we are is a means to that end. Right. So that relationship is interesting. Now, some, if they see enough volume, will see the benefit of being, of like providing the services or working and being more of they call a value added reseller, where you like resell your thing and they're adding value along the way. But a lot of times, with that partnership and even with the ERP partnership itself is that you're complementary, but you're not necessarily like they're not adding the value to it. They're trying to add you as value to supplement their overall offering. Then it's still up to us to kind of provide the services and stuff like that. So they're like, So the positioning is different than it would be like for a VAR. Like a VAR for Cat Talk would be like somebody who's like going out and trying to enhance, you know, taking our product and then adding services on it. Like somebody who really knew manufacturing and they knew how to use our tool to do the job really well, which you see a lot of that with like CAD VARs, and you see a lot with ERP VARs because they're using that base platform and then adding a bunch of value on top of it with services, things like that. What's different about what we're doing is that we're actually, a lot of times we're talking to the same VARs, but they don't act as much as VARs with us in this case. They are trying to, they're using us as a tool to show that additional value in order to complete a package that they can give to the customer. So it's a little bit different. So a lot of times, like, you know, that's why we get, like, typically through partner channels, you see a lot more sales on the combined with an ERP or combined with a target system, because the fact that that's their, we're coming in to help differentiate for part of an overall sale, as opposed to like we call like an aftermarket sale, which is to sell it to somebody who already has it, you know, already has an ERP or something like that. So that's typically what we see. It's like those, so that relationship's the same way. So we had the early relationship with SysPro is because they wanted to differentiate and have additional offerings without actually having to build it. And then somebody comes to them and says, hey, I want to integrate to these systems. By working with us, they got all the systems by default and didn't have to build them, you know, but they do it from a standpoint of like, oh, this would be a great thing that we can go to, like we can sell. Sure. But ultimately their goal is to sell the ERP. This is just another thing, way to differentiate, to be able to sell that.
So that's a good point. So like when we're working with ERPs or PLMs or other systems or our partnerships, their motivation, right? It makes sense. Their motivation is to sell their product. And to your point, our product is a value add. It helps them complete the solution for their customer, for the end user. Because the end users, right, they have very specific requirements. It's got to do a bunch of different things, solve a bunch of different problems. And to solve those problems, you know, our product can be added on as part of the solution suite to solve those problems. So you're right. Often the reseller is most interested in selling their product. And if our product can help with that, then great. And so that's a good point. It's a little different scenario than you typically do, right? So most of the time in kind of software sales, or you talk with somebody who's selling the product, right? They're selling the direct product. And in our situation, we do that as well, as you said, like an aftermarket or where the customer already has their existing system or ERP and maybe CAD. You're selling direct to the customer. You're trying to help the customer directly, the end user. Whereas in our situation, sometimes, right, our customer actually is that value-added reseller who needs some support from our solution to help round out their solution so that they can present to the customer, right, that full view, right, from design all the way to shipping. What do they call that? Quote to cash, right?
Quote to cash, right, yeah.
Right, the whole quote to cash scenario. Where do we fit into that? So what ends up happening is we end up doing kind of marketing and sales activities with partners, right? So you enable partners, you teach the partners about your solution, not just how it works, but like what kind of clients, you know, who would be a fit for it, right? What kind of, how to help identify clients and how to position it and what it does and that sort of thing. Because you're not actually selling directly to the customer in that situation. You're having a partner who's has a different goal, which is to sell their software. You're teaching them to have an eye out, right, for this other thing. I think it's kind of like, you know, like the partner's going out deer hunting, right? They're going out deer hunting. And they're looking for deer. But maybe if they could get a rabbit too, right? That's good too, right? But you have to identify like, well, what kind of rabbits can you hunt for? If you see any along the way, right? What do they look like? How big do they have to be? What's the best way to get them, right? All that sort of thing. So it's a little bit different from what you normally would get when you're just talking to a customer who has a problem.
Yeah, I think it's like trying to think of another analogy that's like a little closer, because I think that in your analogy, I would say that like, how does the rabbit help you get the deer?
Good point.
Yeah, right. So whereas like if like say you were selling the hunters and you were selling guns for the hunters, but I also can sell you deer scent, you know, and my goal is to sell you the gun, right? But I'm trying to, as a provider, I'm trying to sell you a package for obtaining deer.
Right.
And the scent is part of it and the gun is part of it, right? And, but I make all my money on the gun. Yeah.
Right. That's so, a good point.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like you're selling the hunters, they want to get a deer, right? They want to bring home a deer, to your point. And then They need a gun for that. They absolutely need a gun for that, no doubt. But buying a gun does not mean you'll get a deer.
Right.
Does not mean you'll be successful. It's critical. You got to have that. Otherwise, you'll be wrestling to the ground, right? Some guy out there wrestling, deer hunting with bare hands, right? It's like Bear Grylls or something. But he needs that gun. But to your point, that deer scent or some other product that helps him, makes it more likely he's going to be successful in getting that deer. Doesn't have to buy the deer scent, but makes it a whole lot more likely he's going to be successful. And that's his goal, is to, the customer's goal, the deer hunter, it's just his goal to get a deer.
Yeah. But it just goes back to the holes and the drills, right?
Yeah, it's
not,
it goes back.
It's not to buy a gun. It's not to buy deer. It's not to buy the scent. It's to get deer so he can eat.
That's it. Yeah, exactly right. That's exactly right. No, those are good analogies. That's a good analogy for what kind of where we sit, right? We're either the drill bit maker, right? Or we're the deer scent maker, right? Same idea. Yeah, that's good. And of course, Scott, in these partnerships, what ends up happening, like in terms of what incentivizes those partners to work with us?
I mean, it's differentiation, right? It's a way to differentiate to that, you know, in their market, right? So it's like, if you have like, well, typically the customer already has a system, they already own like a certain PLM or CAD system. And then you're coming in as a new provider and you're like, oh, I already integrate to your thing. You basically borrow the legitimacy of the other thing for your sale, you know, and that's, and it also, it removes a barrier for that customer too. It's like, or removes risk. So that's the other win in that situation. It's like, oh, how do I know that these things will work together? Well, I know because these guys have a tool that integrates them. So they must work together. There's literally a product that does it. So therefore it removes the risk of that transfer being hard or cumbersome or costing more money or having things hidden costs they didn't expect. So those are all things that can be, that remove risk in the equation.
Yeah, risk for the, well, it's two risks elimination, right? You're eliminating risk for the partner that the project doesn't go successful, and you're eliminating risk for the customer because they're going to get what they want, right? It's going to be easy for them because they have something that's sort of pre-built, ready to go, that can be leveraged for their digital transformation.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So Scott, it's been a good talk, you know, because I work with a lot of partners, and it took me a long time to get my mind around like this partnerships and how that would work. And even some of the folks who join us, the new, not new customers, but new employees, had to get their mind around like, why are we talking to these partners, right? Why aren't we talking directly to the customers? And so this was a good explanation about like, you know, partners can really help us get to more people we can help, right? Which is the end user. So we can help two people at the same time. I really like your analogy of that win-win-win, because that's really what it is, right? We're helping both the reseller and the customer both achieve their goals. And so that's a nice win on my part, right? Because no matter what, I'm helping people achieve their goals. And I always like that being useful, right? Being helpful to people in the sense to use their goals. So if, because based on our three partnerships, right, there's kind of three ways you can connect with us, right? If you're listening to this podcast and you're an end user and you think, hey, I want to learn more about CAD Talk, you can, of course, go to our website, cadtalk.com, request more information, request a demonstration. If you are a technology partner, you have an ERP or you work for an ERP system, or you work for a PLM system, or you work for like a CAD vendor or something like that, CAD publisher, you're like, man, this would be really great to partner with CAD Talk. Of course, you can find our partner link right on our website. And then lastly, if resellers, right? If resellers reselling their ERP or their PLM, and they really want to talk to us and see how we can help them, right? Really help them help their customers. Again, we have a partnership page right off the website. And you can feel like contact us and get resources about how to integrate, how we work. So, Scott, anything else left to offer in terms of partnerships and how we work with our partners?
No, I think we covered it pretty well today.
Well, Scott, man, you have a good time in Hawaii. I think this is the last time we'll see you. And you'll be off in Hawaii enjoying that. I'm actually glad to be back home and not traveling. So I'm not envious, actually.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
So, well, thanks a lot, Scott. We'll talk to you next time.
All right. Sounds great. Thanks, Jeff.
All right, thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Integrate Intelligently podcast from CAD Talk Software. Don't forget to subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss future episodes. Video versions of the podcast will be available on CAD Talk's YouTube page, linked in the show notes. The Integrate Intelligently podcast is hosted by CAD Talk CEO Scott Brickler and CRO Jeff Brickler. Our producer is myself, marketing manager John Thomas. If you have a story you want to share on the podcast or you want to partner with us, let us know. Email marketing@cantalk.com and be sure to mention podcast in the subject line.